Thank the Lord, we shall behold him. Amen. Praise be to God. Well, it's a delight to be back in Oklahoma. I don't know if there's ever been a Yankee as received as well as I have in Oklahoma. I started with a man named Haskell Rogers in Duncan, Oklahoma. I preach for Brother Goggins. I preach for Brother Newbern. I've tried to preach for Brother Cargill. And, of course, new Brother Dodd as well. So we have a great history here, and it's a delight to be back. I don't want to start calling names. It's not good to call people names. But I'm glad to see our morning speaker here at the camp. It's a wonderful preacher. And thank you, Brother Cargill, for this invitation. We are looking forward to a time in the presence of God around these altars. But I got to tell you, 3 or 4 minutes, I got to tell you. First of all, if we don't bring the CDs, people say, did you bring Ramona's CDs? No. Oh, we wish you'd brought the CDs. Then if we bring them, people say all you talk about are CDs. So what do? You bring them and don't talk much about them. But she's great. She has everything. This is one full orchestra and all. It's wonderful. She has 9 different CDs, everything from toe tapping Texas music. That's you. Only refined. And great hymns of the church like she played tonight. And even a Bach concerto with the San Jose Symphony if you like classical. And on and on. So let's fill our cars and our homes with something that glorifies God. And she's a lot, you just take her home with you, it's a lot cheaper than the way I take her. And then I write, every time I get mad, I write a book. And so I've written about 7. I got mad about 7 times. But tonight, I want you to focus in on, and I really got upset at people that received, supposedly were spirit-filled. They spoke in tongues, but you'd never know it afterward. There is a great danger in that, and I wrote the Pentecostal Priority, and tonight for just $5. There's a few of them out there, and you pick them up. They're out there with her CDs. But then I talk about what happens when you just receive something from God and then sit back and do nothing. And then, of course, I bring it around to the glorious privilege of being filled with the Holy Spirit and the priority that we need today more than ever before. In a demon world, there is a Holy Spirit that will overcome. And we're glad that when the Spirit, where the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord is raising up a standard. And we're thankful for that. And I am the president of a great college, Zion Bible College. It is now in Haverhill, Massachusetts. It was in Rhode Island for 84 years. And then by the graciousness of an Oklahoman, David Green and Barbara Green of Hobby Lobby Industries, they bought us a different campus up in Haverhill, Massachusetts. It was an old finishing school for girls. It operated there for 197 continuous years. And one of the first graduates of that school in Bradford College was Ann Hazeltine, who married Adoniram Judson. And they went to the mission field of Burma in 1806. That's how old that campus was. And there was a missions emphasis even back in those days. And so it's come full circle. And now it's a Pentecostal training center. And listen. Tell your kids, all these kids that feel a touch of God on their lives, to go to our webpage, Zion Bible College. And there is a link on that page that will take you to a thing called Explore the call. Explore the call. And that is a provision that we have given to everyone in the youth movement today. It is 33 free lessons on every aspect of the call of God. And they can sit through 8 to 15 minute segments and receive great help in determining the call of God, what it means, what to do with it. And it even goes so far. Can you believe this? If you're going to go into the ministry, what kind of people should you start dating? I think that's good practical stuff, don't you? And so take advantage of that. You do it. Well, I tell you what, the weather today made me, you know, when I preach here at this camp, I usually come down here. Is that okay? Oh, yeah. Boy, I'm so old, I don't know if I can do this big free fall here. But the lights get in my eyes and I can't see you. And I love to see you. Oh, that's a whole lot better. This is just a... But the weather today reminded me so much of Christmas that I wanted to bring a message to you on Christmas tonight. So turn with me to Luke chapter 1. This is a Holy Ghost rally. We're believing for the move of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And let's start reading at verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, listen to these words. And you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost. Shall we pray? Lord, I thank you tonight that the Holy Spirit has been at work for the foundations of the world and to bring forth Jesus. We pray the Holy Spirit will birth Christ afresh in our hearts and in our lives today. May we understand that the Holy Spirit has come to reveal the living, risen, triumphant Son of God, Savior and healer and baptizer, and soon coming King. We rejoice in that presence, and may the Spirit of God fill this place now as we think on these things. Amen. You know, it is the easiest thing in the world to rejoice after the miracle. Isn't it fun to be a person of faith after the miracle? But do you know what? That's not faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. And I want you to understand for just a moment the miracle that took place in that little town. The faith that we need today to bring Jesus back to the United States of America. And let me introduce you to her. Let me introduce you to this, to her town, this little teenage Jewish girl. It was not much of a town. I love to study the different scholars about this time, and it is fun. It's just fun. It's because all of them have a different number. It's just like It's just like, almost like pastors in the assemblies of God. How many do you have in church today? And different scholars have everything. They're absolutely positive that she grew up in this town. It was between positively 1,300 to 3,000 people. That's absolutely positive. That's a pretty good size group, isn't it? But that was the little village far away from the seat of power. And it was a very poor little city, little town. It's actually a town. And undoubtedly, Mary lived in a home, if she was very fortunate, of two rooms. Her bedroom was a little cot or a little pallet on the floor in a corner. Her closet was a wooden peg where she hung two changes of clothes. Abject poverty. Tiny little nondescript village. And here is this little Jewish girl. And then let me introduce you to her church. You think your youth group is boring? I want you to know Mary grew up in the most boring youth group in the history of the world. Her rabbi had to have been a reject. Think about it. And all she learned was who God had been. She didn't know about the contemporary God. And here was this little girl in this little town, in this little village, in this poverty-stricken situation, in a church that was deader than last year's robin's nest. Let me talk to you a moment about her world. It was a world that was led by evil powers. We have no concept of the evil that comes from this kind of dictatorship. And it was an intrusive government. It forced these almost slaves into penury. And every time there was a new desire by this Caesar, they would have to go back and be taxed. The tax level was so horrible. And so here she is. Now get this. Have you got a picture just a little bit? A little Jewish teenager. Can you imagine her self-image? In this little, poor, out-of-the-way place. Going to this horribly dead church in the context of an intrusive evil government. Now you understand. Now you begin to understand. And you can almost feel the pulse rise when she suddenly sees an imposing gentleman. Man standing in front of her, just his bearing. Do you know who he was? He was Gabriel, who stood in the presence of God. And I am glad that it says, and she was afraid. Now catch this. This is the thing that absolutely thrills me and sends chills up and down my spine. Because this archangel, the hierarchy of heaven, sent by God, stands and says to this little girl, "You have found favor with God." Do you know what that gives me? A sense of self-image that goes far beyond any of the self-help books today. I'm here to tell you that if we will serve him, we are somebody. I don't care where you live, where you've been, what your name is, what your age. I don't care how many people may be against you. If God is for you, who can be against you? And he will dispatch the second from heaven if he wants to a little city in Oklahoma, a little town and village out here in the county. And he will say, you, sir, have found favor with God. You, madam, you have found He has come to bless his people and to set them free and to bring heaven to earth. And he doesn't come to the chosen mighty of this world. He comes to the believers who trust him.
Yes, amen.
And then he begins to go through the shells. Shall be great. And I can just imagine her questions. Can you imagine? Just think about it now. Wouldn't you be staggered? Wouldn't you be staggered? And she cannot get her mind. She cannot get around it. Just think about it. And she is saying, sir, just a minute. Now, you're talking science here and biology. And you know, we don't have a great biology department over at school. And I haven't learned much about this. But I know this much. I know this much, that what you're talking frightens me to death. Because I have never heard of a baby being born without the intimacy between a man and a woman. Now, I don't know that much. And sir, listen, if you're from God, and I believe you are, but if you're from God, you know that I've been true to Joseph. You know that I'm a virgin. You know who I am. And if you're from God, you know that. And you need to go talk to some scientist somewhere and explain this better. And then you're talking all this theological stuff, deep stuff. You're talking about descendants of David, and you're talking about All of this theology, and sir, you need to go talk to the rabbi. Now, he's not a real great one, but you need to go talk to him. This is beyond me. And then you're into the political stuff. And if they don't know I exist, they ever found out what you're talking about is true, This is Caesar stuff. You need to go to headquarters for this. This is beyond me. And I just think about that little girl in the throes of the greatest event, the history of the world, and here she is in a faraway little old place. And the second in command in heaven's hierarchy is sent from God personally to tell her the mysteries of the incarnation. And then she winds it up and says, all this science and all this stuff is all way over my head. It's impossible, she says. How shall this be? And I have been sent here tonight with a message from heaven to this place. How shall this be? And it's the same answer for everybody in this room who is facing an impossibility. The Holy Ghost shall come upon you. For it is not by might nor by power, You try to figure this out and your mind will go crazy, sir. But we are not in a biology class. We're not in a math class. We're not in a philosophy class. We're not in a sociology class. We are in the classroom of the Holy Ghost. And this is something beyond anything that man can understand. You sit here and say, sir, God has given me a promise. I don't know how he'll do it. It's the same thing that has been the answer forever. The Holy Ghost shall come upon you, hallelujah, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon you. Hallelujah. And then it goes on to say, the angels said, with man it's impossible, but with God 27% is possible. Well, that's how I'm reading some of these scripture twisters running around today. I'm here to tell you the truth. Dear friends, listen to me tonight, that with God, all things are possible to them who believe it. There is nothing impossible in the presence of the Holy Ghost. Spirit of the living God. And I know she found the key to the whole thing. I know, because a few verses later, this little girl, staggered by these impossibilities, is articulating some of the greatest words of faith the world has ever heard. What happened? Let me tell you what I believe took place. I believe three things came upon this little girl and something wonderful happened. The first thing is this. She turned from the problem to the person. She moved from the how to the who. Now, you doubters sitting out there with your intellects and everything else, I applaud you for using your brains, but don't let your brains destroy your faith. Don't let your education push you beyond humility. This is humble stuff. This is why this great gathering is here tonight, because a bunch of people in 1914 met together and they said, we are going to reach this world for Jesus Christ. And the whole world laughed at them and said, how shall this be? And the answer came back, the Holy Ghost shall come upon the assemblies of God and we shall see the mighty hand of God. Listen to me tonight, you need to move from that logic to the person. You've been trying to figure out how God does this. And yet you live every day with stuff you don't understand. Let me just tell you that 99.9% of you don't know one blessed thing about a computer. You think you do, but you don't. And I resent you for running around just talking in tongues to me with that stuff. You act like you know more than I do. You really don't. Computers are full of the devil is what they are. The Antichrist is going to use them, so be careful. The only thing that will redeem it is sending money to the Assemblies of God of the Oklahoma District. Now, you can overcome evil with good. The only way you can do it is every day send something through the computer and double-cross the devil. Amen? Amen. And do you know what? When I have a problem with my computer, which is... I don't sit there and say, I don't understand. I just know I can't. And so I yell for the IT guy, "Where are you?" I move from the how to the who. And there's a bunch of you sitting out there saying, "How is the church going to survive in this generation? How the young people? What are we going to do? Oh my goodness." You'll sit there and you will spend money for committees and try to figure it all out. But I want you to know, friend, that there are some things that with man it's just impossible. And it's time for us to begin to believe in somebody bigger than our brain, bigger than our history, bigger than man, bigger than politics, bigger than science. He is the one that's on the throne tonight. Hallelujah. And all power has been given unto him in heaven and in earth. It's time to move past that to the great person of Jesus Christ. So she moved from the process to the person. You just processing everything. Just skip the process. My friend over in India, you talked about India, came flashing back to me so forcibly. Mark Bontaine, he had a close friend named Mother Teresa. He would go and see her. And she would say, "Now, Mark, don't you tell the bishop." She says, "But most of the time I skip Mary and go right to Jesus." And I'm here to tell you, you folks need to skip the religion part and go right to Jesus. So stop all this processing and just know you'll never figure it out. Because his ways are higher than your ways. And then she moved from the problem to the power. Problem that you've got no power on earth is able to meet that need. But do you know, we just go from the problem to the power every day. So, tonight when I go back to the hotel room, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to walk into the room and it's all dark and I say to Ramona, "We got a problem." "Big problem. Can't see anything. I'm going to break my toe on something. I'm falling all over. What a problem. This is terrible." And my wife will say, "What is? You've lost your mind. What are you going to do? Flip the switch, idiot." And I say, "But I don't understand it. Can't figure it out. Can't figure it out. How has this all come I don't know how power gets here." So since I can't figure it out, I can't use it. Because people will think I'm simple. But I don't get it. I don't get it. What's water and all this stuff got to do with light in my room? But I tell you what, you say, you know the mechanics of the church. You know this and that. It's just so much. There's so much. It's so big. It's so, and we just, oh, I don't care. I don't care how big the problem is. If you've got the power, what difference does it make? See?
Yeah.
And some of you are trying to move a train with a Volkswagen engine. Because you see, the Bible says that ye shall receive power. After that, the what? The Holy Ghost has come upon you. And the last thing she did, she moved from the past to the promises. Said, nothing like this has ever happened before. We never did this way. I think we're all going under. In the past, you know. Well, that's, you know, that's not where faith is. There's testimonies of faith, but that's not where the, that's not where the power is. That's not where the faith is. That's not where the answer is. You move from the past to the promises of God that are yea and amen to them that believe. I don't know how it's going to happen. It's never happened. It's never done this way. Whatever. But God said. But God said. And he says, in the last days saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You will have power with God. And I want you to know, folks, if you have not had a history of the anointing, that doesn't nullify anything. The fact is, it's time for you to move out of your past in its brokenness, in its weakness, in its impossibilities, and begin to lay a hold of the promises of God and say, but God has promised, but he's promised, but he's promised, and he's able to perform. Yes. Hallelujah. Yeah. I was praying about this one. This, I'm always trying to figure stuff out, so I'm preaching to myself and get over it. Trying to figure this. Yay and amen. What does that mean? What does that mean? And you know, God is not too respectful of my ministry, nor my titles. You know, he, after all these years, 51 years in the ministry. Oh my goodness, I've had some fabulous titles. Oh my goodness. And he still calls me Hey. Now, I thought when I became the assistant general superintendent of the General Council of the Assemblies of God of the United States, that he'd address me a little bit different. But you know, he'd come into my office without an appointment. And he'd be sitting there, I'd be sitting there and trying to figure out. He'd say, hey. What are you doing? Oh, Lord God, thou knowest that that child is not... Well, whatever. And I was trying to figure this out. I said, say, hey, what are you doing? I said, I'm trying to figure this out. What does yea and amen mean? That's strange. He says, well, it is. Somebody can't think. Yeah, it's hard. But let me help you. Promises of God are yes and amen. When you say yes to God's promise here, I just say, so let it be in heaven. No, that's not Assemblies of God doctrine, but that's the truth. And the promises of God are to those that believe. I say, I believe that promise. And God says, so let it be. So let it be. So let it be. And I went in this message with this. I know she got it. I know she got it. Because she moved into the realm of the Holy Spirit. And she had a beautiful relative. Her name was Elizabeth. And her husband was one of these thinkers. He's a process person. And everything out. And he was going through his religious exercises. And behold, an angel comes to him. says, hey, I just wanted to give you a heads up. You guys have given up. You think just because Elizabeth's old, that bothers God. He says, you know what? The church is going to be blown away. You guys are going to have a baby. And Zacharias says, run that by one more time. This is good. Yeah, and I want you to, this is all outside the box. It's all very different, so you need to call him something different. Just not the status quo. This is different. This is different, so you're going to name him different. You're not going to go with tradition. You're going to have a new thing. You're going to have a new chorus to sing. New song, new worship, all different. I like the old way. I like them when they're young, to have the babies when they're young. They know how to handle them when they're young. Well, God is not worried about that. He said, you're going to have a baby. And he said, hey, how shall this be? He said, well, God will take care of it. And I tell you what, I just want you to shut up until it happened. Would you? You know what? I'll let you talk and you'll fill everybody with unbelief. Just shut up. Isn't that great? Need to know when to hold them and fold them. The Spirit of the Lord. Honor. And Mary heard about this. This Pentecostal thing is getting into the family. I got to go see about this. And I'll tell you what. When Mary met Elizabeth, Jesus was not nearly as well formed as John. But even as Jesus was not even well formed, he was greater than John. I wish I'd been there. I wish I'd been there. When Elizabeth's sightless baby heard the voice of the mother of the Son of God, that baby leapt in the womb and was filled with the Holy Ghost. How shall this be? And Mary breaks forth in the Magnificat. This little shy Jewish girl in this little poor little old town, nobody knew about hardly, poor, alone, in a poor dead church under a demon government, forth with joy and begins to sing, my soul doth magnify the Lord, my spirit
spirit doth rejoice in God my Savior, for he has seen the low estate of his handmaid. And among all women I am blessed. Why? Because the Holy Ghost has come upon me. The Spirit of the Lord rests upon me. And now I rise up in victory. Hallelujah tonight. And there is nothing that can destroy my faith from this moment, because my Christ is the Christ who is revealed by the Holy Spirit of God, the revelation of truth that will come to you tonight. And I'd like my wife to come to the piano, and we're going to sing. We're going to sing Only Believe. All things are possible. Only believe. I rebuke every power of unbelief in this room tonight. Lord, I pray that we shall not spend time processing this. I pray right now that your will shall be done in this place. And I ask, Lord, that everyone in this room who is facing an impossibility, I ask, Lord, that the Holy Ghost shall come upon them. I'd like everybody in the place to stand. Would you do it? And you know what I would love to have you do? If there's anyone in this room, whether it's one or 500, if you're saying, oh God, how shall this be? My problem is huge. My situation is impossible. My church, oh God, my church. Oh God, my worlds. Oh God, my situation. In praying about this service tonight, I knew God wants to do something. He wants to show himself alive among us. I want us to have a contemporary Christ tonight moving among us. Not a historical Jesus. Not a Christ out in the future, but the Christ who is here. And you're asking, how shall this be? Well, don't try to figure it out. I don't understand how the sacrifice of one man 2,000 years ago who shed his blood for some reason or another, I don't understand it, but that blood has never lost its power. And if there's anyone in this room that the devil has said, you're too big a sinner, that can't be. It's not that simple. It's not that possible. I want you to know that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from sin tonight. Now stop trying to figure it up and reach out to him, you sinner, that needs a cleansing tonight, and say, how shall this be? I don't know, but I know this much. The Holy Spirit is revealing Christ as your Redeemer and your Savior, and if you'll confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you. I don't figure it out. I just know he does it. Why? Because he's done it for me. Before we pray for other miracles, I want to pray for the greatest miracle of all. I pray, Lord, right now that everyone here who is under the command of sin, I pray in Jesus' name that the power of God shall come upon them now, and the Spirit of the Lord shall reveal Jesus. I don't know how you do it, Lord, but you said, come now, let us reason together on a higher level. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they'll be as wool. I don't understand it, but I glory in it and I receive it. And now I pray, Lord Jesus, that everyone in this room who needs unconfessed sin to be taken care of, I pray that you will remove it by the blood of the Lamb. As our faith reaches out to you right now, whether you've ever received Jesus as Savior or not, matters not. It is time for you to accept the full pardon of God through Jesus Christ. And if you will believe in your heart, God has raised him from the dead, that he's everything that he said, you shall be saved. What a miracle, what a miracle, what a miracle. And I don't want this service to go by, even though this is a Pentecost rally and we just know everybody here probably, but doesn't matter. And now I want everybody in this room who's wrestling with something that is beyond your ability, that you need an answer, you need a miracle, you need something from God that doctors, lawyers, economists, philosophers cannot figure out. I want you to come and stand here tonight as we sing Only Believe. It's time for us to turn off our unbelief and begin to just say, Lord, I'm going to leave all these doubts behind me tonight. I'm just going to reach out, and I'm not going to process this. I'm going to just come to the person, and I'm going to come to the power, and I'm going to accept the promise. Would you come right now as we sing? Only be. Yes, come right up. Come right up here, close to the front, would you please? You need a miracle, you come on. You said, but I've come there time and again, but tonight, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. Hallelujah. Are possible. Right over here, you come. You know you should. Come on. Spirit of the Lord is on someone over here, and you're just, yes, come on. You've been fighting. Come on. Others, I feel a pulling of the Spirit. It's time. Come on. You become callous. You become cynical about faith. You become cynical about miracles, and it's time for you to believe again. Amen. Hallelujah. How many in this room tonight can testify to a confounding miracle that has no other explanation but that God came on the scene? How many back there would raise a hand? Would you do? I'd like to have you that raise their hand come and stand behind these people. I want to build a wall of faith around this place and a wall of praise. And if you want to come down in front of these people, lay hands on them. That's just perfectly fine. You let the Lord lead you right now, because God's going to perform miracles at the front of this building tonight. We'll have no formal dismissal. You just leave when you feel like you can. But I want you to go in the power and anointing of the Holy Ghost. And you stay here as long as God wants you to stay here. And I want you to receive your miracle tonight. Now let's sing it together. And could we get a couple of musicians to help us sing up here, if you wouldn't mind, please? Only me. Jesus, in the name of Jesus, come on, folks, let's lay hands on these people, shall we? Let's lay hands on them right now. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost will come upon you. Hallelujah. He heal our unbelief in the name of Jesus. We agree together, the promises of God are here. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, receive your miracle now. Reach out and receive it by faith. How shall this be? The Holy Ghost shall come upon you. And the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The Holy Ghost has come upon you. Hallelujah. Now begin to praise him. Begin to praise him. The Holy Ghost shall come upon you. We rebuke the enemy in the name of Jesus, and we set this man free in the name of the Lord. The Holy Ghost is upon you. Sister, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The Holy Ghost shall come upon you. The Holy Ghost shall come upon you. The Holy Ghost shall come upon you. The Holy Ghost is upon you. The Holy Ghost is upon you. Receive it. Receive it. Begin to praise him now. Let the praises of God come against every power of darkness. Praise him, sister. How shall this be? The Holy Ghost shall come upon you. Praise him. In the name of Jesus, we can't figure it out. We leave it. Now the Holy Spirit come upon these people. Praise him. Remove every bit of doubt. And may they claim the promises of God right now. Praise him. The Holy Ghost has come upon you. Spirit of the Lord come upon you. The Spirit of the Lord is Katana. You praise him in the name of Jesus. We don't understand and we receive it. Thou hast found favor with God. And the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. With God all things are possible. May this man receive a healing from heaven right now. In the name of Jesus, may he rise in power. In the name of Jesus, may the Holy Ghost come upon you. Praise him. Praise him. Hallelujah. With man it's impossible. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.